At the very beginning of Parsha, we come to this strange halacha of the Ishes Yifas Toar. You have the soldier going out to war. He's at war, he's fighting, and he finds a captivated, beautiful woman, and he wants to be with her, he wants to marry her. And the Torah goes through various halachas of how it is that she becomes a member and join in the Klal Yisrael, so that ultimately he could marry her. And there are a lot of questions which one could ask on this whole halacha of the Ishes Yifas Torah. How exactly is this allowed? Perspective of woman, how could one just take her as a wife? But Rashi, quoting from the Gemara Kiddushin, and a Medrash Tanchuma deals with a separate issue of why was this allowed? Why did the Torah create such a concept? And he quotes from the Gemara, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Kineged Yitzer Hara. The Torah is talking to the Yitzer Hara. He has such a strong desire. He's at the battlefield. He has a strong desire, and he all of a sudden sees this woman. He has such a strong desire. And the Torah says, fine, give in. Give in to his Yitzer Hara, give in to his evil inclination. There's nothing we could do. Let him be with her. Let him have her. And the question is, why is this so? The Mesillas Yesharim, in the beginning of the Mesillas Yesharim, he explains that life is about challenges. Life is about testing the desire that we have and have the Torah overcome those desires. Why over here does the Torah give in? Does it capitulate to the Yetzer Hara? It gives in to the evil inclination. All of life is about tests. All of life is about defeating the Yetzer Hara. So why specifically over here does the Torah say, you know what, the soldier, he gave in, he has a desire, let's give in to the desire, let him be with this woman. Why is this different? So I'd like to suggest three different answers to this question, and the third one is very appropriate for this time, as we are just a few weeks away from Rosh Hashanah. Answer number one. The Torah is not giving in to the Yetzer Hara. It's not true. The Torah is defeating the Yetzer Hara. Part of his desire, part of the reason why he wants to be with this woman, this non-Jewish woman, is because she's forbidden to him. He cannot be with her, and he wants it because he cannot be with her. And so the Torah is telling us the way to defeat the Yetzer Hara is by making her permissible to him, by allowing him to be with her, so now all of a sudden his desires drop a notch. And he no longer really wants to be with her. And so the Torah is giving us a formula how he will no longer want to be with her. And also through the various halachas that's given about what she has to do, the whole point is to show how he really should not be with her. And so the Torah is, in effect, defeating the Yetzer Hara. We find such a concept elsewhere, a concept of pas pasalo. Let's take, for example, if one is fasting, and is having a hard time fasting. So if one's constantly thinking, you know what, I'm so hungry, oh, I really need to eat, so then the fast is going to be very difficult. But if one tells himself psychologically, really, I could eat. I could have food. But I don't want to eat. I don't have to eat right now, but I really could eat. So then psychologically, it's going to be easier for him to fast. It'll make it easier for him to fast if he just tells himself that it's allowed. So to hear the Torah telling us that if we make her permissible to him, so all of a sudden his desire to be with her will go down a notch. Answer number two. The Torah Tmimah tells us that it's specifically in this case that the Torah says that the Yetzer Hara wins. In last week's parsha, the Torah tells us that we have to have strong soldiers, not just physically strong, but mentally strong. Our soldiers have to be prepared. They're going to the battlefield. It's a time of danger. It's a kanas nefashos. They have to be mentally prepared and mentally aware of what's going on. And so we can't have side distractions. We can't have the soldier who's completely thinking about that one on the side that he can't have, and he'll be distracted and won't be able to fight. It'll be dangerous for him. And so the Torah is telling us that only in this situation does the Torah give in to the Yetzer Hara, and in no other situation does it give in. The Torah to me quotes from the Gemara in Chulin, which tells us that when the Jews went to fight in Eretz Yisrael to capture the land, so all of a sudden non-kosher food was permissible to them. They were able to eat pork. And so the Torah to me says it's the same exact idea. When in time of war, when you're at a battlefield, so we want to make sure that our soldiers are happy. We want to make sure that our soldiers are mentally focused. And so we will allow them to eat non-kosher food. We will make exceptions for them. We will allow them to be with that woman who's this captivated non-Jewish woman in order for them to be focused on the task at hand, they're in the battlefield, it's a time of danger, we want to make sure that they are focused. Answer number three. I recently spent a Shabbos with a chaplain, an Orthodox chaplain. He was the chaplain on a Marine base. It was a training for the Marines. And it's an 11-week training. It takes 11 weeks to train to be in order to become a Marine. And he was describing me their daily schedule. He was telling me how difficult it is to become a Marine. Probably the most difficult step within the Army is to become a Marine. It's an 11-week program. They wake up at 4 in the morning. They go to sleep at 10. So they have their sleep period of 6 hours from 10 to 4. But after that, there is not a single break. They wake up at 4 and they're running off to their training. How long are their meals? How long is breakfast, lunch, and dinner? 7 minutes each. They have 7 minutes to eat their food for every meal. Are they allowed to take any break whatsoever? They're allowed to take two breaks. Two breaks they have the right to take off for. One is to meet with the chaplain. They have the right to meet with the chaplain at any point in time. And their second break, the only second break they're allowed to take, is that they can meet with a psychologist to determine if they claim, they're allowed to meet with a psychologist, if they claim that they have suicidal thoughts, so then the psychologist comes and determines whether they're serious or not. If they are serious, so then they get to go leave the base, then they should go ahead and get help. But if the psychologist determines that they are just lying, it's not really true, and they just want to get out of their training, so they go right back into the training. Those are the only two that they could take. Otherwise, they are constantly on the move. And why is this? Why are they constantly on the move? Because the purpose of training, the purpose of training the Army, is to train them about how to react to every single circumstance, not based on thought, but based on instinct. They teach them that you're not supposed to be thinking. You have to be constantly on the go. You're constantly going, going, going. It's a time period of 11 weeks where you're not allowed to think. The training is telling you you're not allowed to think. Just listen, listen, listen to the commander. Follow instructions. Whatever they tell you to do will become routine to you. It will become your instincts. And therefore, you'll be able to fight appropriately in the battlefield. Being in the Army is not a place of thinking. It's a place of just acting based on instinct, based on the training that you were taught. And so the Sandera, for simple as a broad, explains that over here the Torah tells us that in such a scenario, such a circumstance, where you're not able to think, so then the Yetzer Hara is going to win. There's nothing you can do about it. The only way to defeat that desire, to defeat that inclination, is if we're able to take a break, if we're able to pause and breathe in and think about what we're doing. But if we don't have that mentality, if we don't have that ability to stop and think, so then the Yetzer Hara will win. And so the Torah is telling us that over here, with regards to Yetzer Hara's Torah, you know what? So we're going to have to give in, and we're going to have to give in to the Yetzer Hara, because this is not a place of thinking. Our lives are not the lives of a soldier. We can learn from what is, we can learn from our lives based on what isn't. And what isn't, we are not the lives of a soldier. We have that ability to take a moment to pause and to think, and we have that bechira. It's up to us to choose. We might have very busy schedules which we put upon ourselves, so busy that we don't have that moment to take a break and think. But our lives, God gave us in order for us to stop and think and to choose. There's a story of Rosh Yeshiva, who was very close to one of his students. And his student is at a point in time making a critical decision in his life, so he comes and he meets with the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva discusses with him the various options that are out there for him, and he discusses the pros and cons of the different options. And at the end of the meeting, so the student asks the Rosh Yeshiva with whom he's close. So in the end of the day, we look at all the various options, but what should I do? Which path should I take? And so the Rosh Yeshiva tells him that God puts you on the world to choose, to make decisions, and to be responsible for the decisions. And I'm not here to take that away from you. You could be guided, you should be guided by your leaders and your rabbim and your rabbis, but ultimately, the decision comes down to you. And the point of this world is to choose. The point of this world is to take a step back and to breathe in and see what you're doing and to make decisions in life. It's about thinking. It's not the life of a soldier. The life of a soldier is constantly doing based on routine, based on instinct. They don't have the ability to think. But we were put on this world to think, and therefore to do based on our thinking. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva, has two chapters devoted to the concept of Bechir Chavshus, of free will. The question is, why is he doing free will all the way in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva? What does that have to do with repentance? You should feel, well, perhaps by the Hilchos Yisurei HaTorah, by the halachas, the laws of foundations of the Torah. Why is it more deserving to be Hilchos Tshuva than any other halacha, any other mitzvah? So I think basically what we're saying makes perfect sense. Because in order for a person to change direction, in order for a person to change the way he acts, the way he performs mitzvahs, he has to take a step back and think and realize and internalize the concept of Bilir Chashis. That I have free will, that ultimately up to me to decide what to do. If a person is able to do that, so then that's step one to Shuvah. If a person cannot internalize the fact that they have the choice, that it's really up to them, and they don't live their lives based on routine, if they think they live their lives based on routine, they won't be able to do Shuvah. Only if they realize that they don't live their lives based on routine, they have the ability to think and choose, so then they're able to begin the true process. And it's up to us to decide during this time period, the Elul, or Rosh Hashanah, or Kippur, we have to decide, are we going to be like a soldier, which is constantly just does, based on routine, based on instinct, without thinking, how much the Torah tells us he's going to lose the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara Fitim, or will be that person who takes a moment to stop and think about what they're doing, think about what they're doing with their lives, and how they can change day to day basis.